county shall be saved. Every man, woman, and child will know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for your word. We're going to receive it with joy here tonight. Father, we're going to praise you. We're going to worship you. Father, we just glorify your holy name. And Lord, we just say this together. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone shouted, amen. Hey, before you're seated, go ahead and get out of your seats and greet one another in the name of the Lord. Good to see everybody here tonight. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church here tonight? Ooh, yay. Praise God. Well, it's good to see everybody. Boy, it's a balmy 5 degrees above zero, and that's if the wind is not doing anything, right? I'll tell you what. Wait, we have a big day coming up on Monday, right? Isn't there some little critter down there in Punxsutawney that's supposed to deliver us from this winter, right? That's what we've heard. Praise God. Well, here we go. The last day of January of 2026. Well, it's good to see everyone. Yeah, I'll tell you what, time is flying by. Next thing you'll know, it'll be 2030. And I don't know about some of you, but I remember being a kid, and I know I've said this many times, but I remember when, like, the 2020s, I remember, like, you know, reading books that I would take out of the library when I was, like, in fourth grade, and it depicted the year, like, 2020 or 2025, and it was, like, floating cities, flying cars, you know. I'll tell you what, it was a little different than what they imagined. Actually, in some ways, you know, things like AI, you know, they talked about robots and all that. Well, we actually, now we just carry our robots around in our telephones now. Oh boy, I'll tell you, but time is moving fast. Well, it's just so good to be with everyone here tonight. We welcome you to Family Church. As I look around, there might be a face or two that you're brand new with us here tonight. Or maybe this is just your second or third time with us. We're just so happy to have you. We're so glad to have you here. We just welcome you. We just invite you to find one of these welcome cards there, right there in your seat. Please know if you take a minute to fill that out, we would appreciate that. We don't give away this information or sell it to anybody. We're just so glad to have a record of your attendance. There's some great ways to be connected to the church there. Our text communication service. How many of you got that here this afternoon? Yep. Many of us received that. Great way that I communicate with the church. Also, if there was ever any weather-related cancellations or something like that, it'd be a great way to learn about that. Again, your cell phone information is not shared. It stays safe right there within the system. Also, we have an email devotional that goes out, and there is a space on the back there for prayer needs and requests. We have faithful people that pray over every request. You can utilize that every single week if you'd like. You could put a prayer request in once in a while or every time. Whatever you choose to do, it will get prayed for. And tonight we're going to be doing something a little bit differently. Usually we take up our tithes and offerings towards the beginning of service. Tonight we're going to be receiving our tithes and offerings at the end of service as we dismiss. You know, we've just been, you know, kind of talking about it. We don't need an offering sermon every single week, right? And so when we receive the offering, it'll be at the end. And if you have one of these gray cards to submit, we will have ushers at the two exits for the sanctuary, and you can just drop your offering and this gray card right there in the bucket there tonight. We'll make sure to get that. And for those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We just welcome you. We're glad that you're here. We know that God's got an awesome plan for your life, and we just want to get you connected, not to our plan, but to his plan. Amen. Church, whose opportunity is it to make sure our visitors feel warm and welcome? That's ours. Let's welcome those that are visiting here tonight. So glad to have you. So good to see you. We just trust that everybody is staying warm out there. Praise God. And hey, I saw the forecast. I think we're getting ready for a heat wave on Monday. right? I think we're getting up to, what, 24 degrees on Monday? Hey, man, we'll take it. That's 20 degrees warmer than we're at right now. Praise God. We're going from glory to glory. Amen. Well, we have just one quick announcement, but it is a significant one. Next week, we will be celebrating 10 full years here at Family Church Erie. Yeah, we're excited about that. You know, I'll tell you what, in these days and times, you know, church ministry is not for the faint of heart. And so for us to be plugging along and doing well 10 years later, amen, it's to the glory of God. So we're going to be celebrating next Saturday night. We're going to have a food reception. Everyone's welcome to be there. We're just going to have a special presentation just briefly in the service, and then a food reception to follow. Everybody of all ages is welcome to be there. We're just going to celebrate what the Lord has done over this past decade already, 10 years. I'll tell you what, it's amazing. You know, time just goes by really, really fast. And we are going to celebrate what God has done. So, amen. That's all we have with announcements. And just a reminder again, we're going to be receiving up our tithes and offerings at the end of service as we dismiss. So, at this time, who's ready to continue with our praise and worship? Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's stand up to our feet. Let's lift our voices. Boy, I like how we just get right back into praise and worship this way, right? Amen. Let's go ahead and give God all the glory and praise. Father, we bless you tonight. We glorify you, Father. You are holy and good, and we're just so honored to be gathered in your name here tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank glory you, to Jesus. God. Let's worship the Lord together here. You saw me in my need. You paid the price for me, and through your love, I have been set free. Now I'm not the same. Now I am not the same. Took my sin and shame, forever I will bless your holy name. I adore you, I adore you. Lamb of God, my Savior, Prince of Peace. I adore. You mean all the world to me. I adore you, Lord. Oh, yes, we do. Let's sing that together. You saw me and you paid the price.
You paid the price for me.
And through your love, I have been set free.
Sin
and shame, forever I will bless your holy name. I adore you, I adore you. Lamb of God, my Savior, Prince of Peace. I adore you, I adore you. Again, you saw me. You saw me in my need. You paid the price for me, and through your love, I have been set free. Oh, I'm not the same. I'm not. You took my sin and shame, and forever I will bless your holy name. Savior, Prince of Peace, I adore you.
there's no one like you, Lord. You have no rivals, you have no equals. We worship you, Father. We honor you, Jesus.
Father God, we just bless you tonight. Father God, we glorify you tonight. You are holy, you are good and worthy to be praised. Father, we just glorify you. Come on, church, let's go ahead and lift our voices. Father, we bless you, we glorify you. Father, we lift our hands to you. You are the one true living God. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, you are the one that is faithful to covenant to 1,000 generations. Father, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on that cross, shed his blood, and on the third day he rose again. And Father, you didn't leave us helpless. You didn't leave us as orphans. You sent the Holy Ghost to infill us and indwell us, Father, with your strength and your power. Lord, you are holy and good. And Father, you are leading us and guiding us. And we know that it all begins with your word. And Lord, you said that apart from the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand or receive your word. So Father, we just submit ourselves that the Holy Ghost would reveal and unveil your word to us. And Father, we're just going to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Praise God. Well, it's good to see everybody. I trust that you're hungry for the Word. And I'll tell you what, we're in a good place. We're in a warm place. But I tell you what, it's been a little dry lately. I don't know if everyone's realized that. So as I minister the Word and as my voice is projected, if there's any cracks or any kind of cracks in the voice tonight, you're going to help me out and have great mercy upon me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to 1 John chapter 2. And tonight I'm going to call this message, Developing the Anointing Within You. Developing the Anointing Within You. And tonight we're going to continue along the same lines that I've been on, you know, for the last several weeks. We've been talking about how to hear God's voice, how to be led by the Spirit of God, how to recognize God's voice in our life. And I tell you, we don't have all the time tonight to go into review and to go to all the places that we've been. If you haven't been here and you'd like to get caught up, you can just go to our YouTube channel there for this church, Family Church Erie, and it'll come up and you can just go to the archives there and start scrolling through and catch up on those messages if you'd like. But we've been talking about the need to be spirit conscious or being aware of God's voice in our spirit. And we saw this in the Word that we are a three-part being. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And we know what the body is, right? That's easy. That's our flesh and blood that contacts the physical world that we live in. The soul and the spirit, though, a lot of people get confused or mixed up. But the Scripture does make a distinguishing difference between the two. The soul is our mind, our intellect, our feelings, our emotions. And the spirit is the part of us that is eternal. Our spirit is what God recreated when you made Jesus your Lord and Savior. Your spirit is the part of you that God communicates with. Just like our physical body communicates with the physical realm, our soul communicates with the emotional realm and our realms of the realm of the feelings and so on. But the spirit is what communicates in God's realm. You know, the Bible says over there in Proverbs 20:27, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of our belly or our innermost being. Amen. And so we have a spirit, or more accurately, we are a spirit being. That just means we are eternal in the sense that we will live forever. It's just a matter of where and how, right? God put a spirit in every single human being that will exist forever. It's just a matter of where. And of course, we highly recommend heaven, right? We highly recommend joining God's family because the alternative is no good alternative at all, right? Amen. And so we've been talking about being conscious, yes, of the Holy Spirit, but we've got to be conscious of what? Our own spirit. And we saw this, that the Bible says that our spirit has a voice. It's called our conscience. Our conscience will speak to us. You know, the Bible says, let peace rule like an umpire in the Amplified, it says. We have a guide on the inside. We have a conscience. The Holy Spirit is speaking to our spirit, all right? God is not communicating to our body. God is not even communicating to our mind. How many of you remember last week we talked about the lesson of the spirit, soul, and body? And we saw Jesus was the best example of what to do when your spirit, soul, and body don't agree. Remember that? Remember how when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his crucifixion, he asked John, James, and Peter to help him pray. Remember this? And it says he walked a little further. He fell on his face. And he told the disciples beforehand, he said, my soul is so sorrowful, I feel like I could die. The King James says, my soul is sorrowful even to the point of death. Remember that? And that term sorrowful, you know, it means literally depressed or sad. Christ was being pressured so strong in his soul, he felt like he was going to die. But remember, he wasn't appointed to die in the garden. He was going to go to the cross is where he was appointed to die. But his feelings and his emotions were trying to push him to do something other than what God planned for him. Remember that? Then Jesus fell on his face and he prayed and he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. It's a reference to the cross. He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will, right? And aren't you glad Jesus prayed that way? Because Jesus was being tempted to have his own will. And his will was in his soul. His will did not want to go to the cross. And we could understand that. And the flesh was, of course, joining up with his soul and trying to get Jesus to do something other than what God planned for him. Remember this? And Jesus told us in that same passage, he said, my soul is filled with sorrow. And then he went on to say, the flesh is weak. He says, but the spirit is willing. So Jesus let us know his soul was filled with so much emotion, he did not want to do what God had for him. And then he said, the flesh is weak. It just sided or joined up with the soul and just, you know, wanted to preserve itself. Remember, our mind and our flesh, that is the realm of self-preservation. We will just want to choose whatever feels the best, puts us at least risk, you know, what's the easiest, which has the least amount of sacrifice. There is no willingness to sacrifice in your flesh and in your mind. But Jesus said, but the spirit is willing. And in his spirit, he found the voice of God that he was willing to do what God had him to do. So what do you do when your spirit, soul, and body, what if they don't agree? Get in, this is what we're talking about, being conscious of our spirit, which if you're born again and if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, the life of God is on the inside of there. You have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, right? Romans 8:15, our spirit cries out to know God, to please God, to follow God, even though your soul will be like, nope, don't do that. Don't do something that's going to cost you any time. Don't do that if it costs you any money. Don't do that if it's not comfortable or not easy, right? How many of you know we got to get out of our minds? Yeah. You know, I went down to that church and that pastor told me to get out of my mind. Well, you don't want to live up here. See, the Bible says, where is that verse? It's over there in Ephesians 4:23. You don't need to turn there. But remember, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to be renewed in your mind. What does it say over there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2? Well, actually, it's verse, you know, starting in verse 1, but it says over there, it says, don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Meaning your mind does not get born again when you get saved. If you had stinking thinking before salvation, you have stinking thinking after salvation. The only way that we are going to be renewed in our mind is to start meditating on the Word. Amen. The Word will renew our minds. But how many of you know your spirit, if you're born again, is willing to obey God? Your spirit is willing to sacrifice for God. Your spirit is willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Amen. And so that's what we've been talking about. Now go over to 1 John chapter 2. We got into these verses, but I need to start right here again, just as a reminder. Go to verse 20, 1 John 2:20, and we need to be reminded of this because we're constantly talking about being conscious of God's presence in our spirit. God isn't living up here in your mind. He's not living out here in your flesh. He's alive in your spirit. Amen. And the Bible gives us some very clear indications of this. 1 John 2:20, it says, but you... Now, who's he talking to, everybody? He's talking to all of us. Yeah. You, as a Christian, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, before we start calling ourselves know-it-alls, it's talking about, in context, remember, he was talking about people that were trying to deceive them. And he's saying, you will know truth from untruth. You will know when somebody's trying to deceive you. All right, that's what he's talking about. It doesn't mean you know everything that's going to happen tomorrow or you know everything there is to know about the Bible. None of us do. And so that's what he's talking about. He says, but you have an unction. That word unction, no, notice it's not something you're going to have. It doesn't say something you hope to have. It says something that you have when? Right now, you have an unction if you're born again, if you're a Christian. That word unction is the word for anointing. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. That word unction is also a Greek word. It means to smear on like an ointment, you know? And that's what he's talking about. You have an unction or an anointing, or God literally took his presence and took his ability and smeared it on the inside of your spirit. Amen. And it makes you sensitive. Remember, we used the illustration, if you're trying to discover the direction of the wind, you might moisten your finger, you might give it a little lick there and put it up to the wind, and that moisture on your finger will make your finger more sensitive to the direction that the wind is blowing, right? In the same way, your spirit now has an anointing. It has literally been smeared with the presence of God, and it can pick up and tell you the direction that God wants you to go. Amen. Now drop down to verse 27 in that same passage there. In verse 27 says it all over again. It says, but the anointing which you have received of him abides, or what? Lives where? In you. And you need not that any man teach you, talking about the seducers or the deceivers. He says, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, it is truth and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We have an unction. We have an anointing. We have a smearing on of God's presence. We have a smearing on of God's faith on the inside of us. We have answers. Notice it says that answers will come to you. It'll teach you things. Amen. Answers are within you right now. God's faith is in you right now. God's presence is in you. God's leading. God's ability is dwelling in your spirit. Or we could say it this way, God has already provided everything we're ever going to need. He has put his life, his presence, his anointing, that smearing on of his ability on the inside of us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now flip over to Luke chapter 17. We're going to start digging a little bit further in what it means to be spiritual, or how to develop this unction or the anointing within you, all right? So we see by these verses, and of course there's many verses that tell us this, but it tells us that we have been anointed by God, amen? And it's not this church, it's not just, you know, this group of believers. Anyone who has made Jesus their Lord and Savior has received this unction. How many of you got that unction and that anointing? Praise the Lord, aren't you glad? Go over to Luke 17 and verse 20. Here is a very interesting passage. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that everything you need is available to you right now in your spirit? There's answers in there. And we're going to talk about developing the inward man. How to develop spiritually so that we can hear God's voice, how we can get those answers that we need. Go to Luke 17. And tonight I'm going to give you just a couple of things, and we're going to start right here in just a moment with the first thing. A couple of things you can do to help develop this anointing within you. We're going to see if we're going to get to all these points here tonight. Maybe we'll get to a couple of them. I have at least three, and so we'll start right here. Look at what Jesus said over here in Luke 17 and verse 20. He's speaking to the Pharisees, and of course, they were constantly after him, trying to get him to be caught up in his words or something like that. And it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. Whoa, this is a very interesting passage, and I'll explain exactly what he's talking about and what he's referring to. And so they were pestering him, like, tell us when the kingdom of God is going to come to this earth. You know, tell us when the kingdom of God is coming. Remember, if you were a Jew in those days, that was what they always were praying for, right? Remember, Jesus and the Lord's Prayer, which we're not going to dive into this, but we know that it was very much a Jewish prayer in the sense that pray that his kingdom come, his will be done. Now, when we hear that prayer, we get, you know, sentimental about it, religious about it, or whatever. We're taught to repeat it. But Jesus, two verses later, he reminded us not to give in to vain repetitions. So just praying the Lord's Prayer, just trying to repeat it, it's not some good luck charm, right? But Jesus was telling them that to pray, his kingdom come, his will be done, because the Jews for centuries had been praying that the kingdom would come, all right? Now, they're pressing Jesus about this because the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews, they wanted to know. And Jesus says the kingdom of God comes not with observation or literally physical sight. Isn't that interesting? Wow. Jesus is trying to get over the fact that the kingdom of God has already come near to them. All right, through his coming. Now we're going to talk about this. Look at verse 21. Jesus is not done speaking. Jesus says, neither shall they say, lo, here it is, or lo, there it is, right? Behold, the kingdom of God is where? The kingdom of God is where? Within you. Wow. See, what Jesus was trying to get to the Pharisees and what they could not understand is that Jesus was saying the greatest acts of the kingdom of God are going to be what he does in the hearts of the people. Amen. Absolutely. And Jesus said, oh, don't you run out here and be like, oh, there it is. You know, oh, there it is. He says, because the kingdom of God is going to be within you. Now, the Pharisees, they could not understand that. They did not want to understand that. But this is very pertinent to you and I. Praise the Lord. Jesus was letting them know and letting us all know that this generation, meaning this 2,000 years since Jesus came the first time, that this generation will wrongly demand and become deceived and assume that they need an outward display, right? They will need some kind of visual display to believe that the kingdom of God is here. Folks, I'm here to tell you the kingdom of God has been on this earth for 2,000 years. When Jesus came to this earth, right, that was when Jesus' very first message. Remember when he first started preaching over there in Matthew 4:16? What was his first sermon? He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, when we hear that, we always assimilate that to, you know, some guy in the subway or somebody holding a sign on the street corner, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. We think it means that the kingdom of God is coming someday in the future. But that term at hand, it literally means within grasp. Jesus's first message that he ever preached was, here I am, the kingdom of God is now at hand or within your grasp. Jesus was announcing the coming of the kingdom of God. And then Jesus, you know, tells the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is going to be within you. And now, since then, since Jesus's, you know, death, burial, and resurrection, the kingdom of God is where? It's in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. He has now moved into us. We are spirit indwelt. Praise the Lord. And he says, so many people, he said, this generation is going to want to see signs. They're going to want to always look on the outward. But God is teaching us to look where? Inwardly. To look at the Spirit of God communicating with us inwardly. All right. But what are many people doing, many Christians, we've all fallen into this at some point or another. We start wanting signs from God. We want some kind of outward demonstration. All right. Are you here? Watch out. We got to be careful how we say this, right? But people will want some outward demonstration, something that will gratify their senses and their flesh so they can try to understand what God is doing in the earth. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you cannot look at the natural world and find out what God is doing. You don't look at circumstances to try to find out what God is doing. You don't ask God for signs. You know, oh God, just give me a sign to follow. He is not giving you a sign to follow. Oh boy. Are you here? The kingdom of God is where? Within you. You have an unction from the Holy One. It abides where? Within you. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you. Amen. And so he's warning that the generations to come would unfortunately become too outwardly looking to find out what God's doing when God's trying to tell us what he's doing in our spirit the whole time. Are you here? People look for outward signs. People look for something to gratify their senses or their flesh to understand what God is doing. People will try to move God out here. You know what I mean? They try to move God, or they try to understand or discern God out here in natural circumstances. He's not talking to you in natural circumstances. He's not giving you outward signs. Are you here? Oh, praise the Lord. Like I said, one of the biggest misconceptions in all of Christianity today, I had someone say it to me just this past week, and we don't condemn anybody. I'm not trying to insult or criticize anybody. I just want to help people to understand. They said, oh, Pastor, I'm just praying that God would give me a sign so I would know what to do. And I said, brother, listen, I say this to love you. You can ask God for a sign all day long. He is not giving you one. He is not. Jesus said this in Matthew 16:4. Remember this? Jesus said, a wicked generation asks for a sign. He said, and no sign shall it be given except that of the prophet Jonah, who though he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth 3 days and three nights, right? All right, so he said a wicked generation asked for a sign. The Pharisees asked for a sign, you know, left and right. And this is what Jesus is now dealing with here. He says, stop looking at the outward realm to try to understand what God is doing. Look on the inside. Develop the kingdom of God within you and stop looking for signs. Are you here? People try to find it in signs. Oh, Pastor, you know, my favorite kind of car drove by yesterday. You know, I knew it was a sign. Folks, when I say stuff like this, ooh, this is going to get me in trouble, and I don't mean this to be attacking anybody. There's a thing going on. I don't know. I guess it's been a thing for a while. I'm just probably slow to learn of it. But people say, oh, well, when you get visited by a cardinal, that's a loved one who's passed away. No, it's not. No, it's not. No offense, not trying to take away comfort or something from somebody, but that cardinal is not a sign of your loved one. It has nothing to do. You know, if your loved one loved cardinals and it just reminds you of them, well, that's wonderful. You know what I mean? But God is not talking to you in signs. He's not sending an animal across your path. You know, oh boy, I know this. People, you know, don't like to hear this stuff. God is trying to speak. What he wants us to do is to hear his voice on the inside. He wants us to know him. He wants to wants us to hear the still small voice, because if he's whispering to us, you got to be real close to hear him, right? That's what God's looking for most of all, are people who are looking at the kingdom of God on the inside. People are trying to discern God with some kind of outward demonstration to fulfill their senses. They do so with signs. No sign will be given except the sign of Jonah the prophet, right? We try to do this, even if we're not careful, we can take things too far in terms of devices of worship, if we're not careful. Oh boy, I'm really going to step on it. I'm just using this as an illustration. I'm not attacking anybody. But if we're not careful, we see the body of Christ sometimes, they step out and they might abuse or overuse. They try to get God's attention. Folks, you can wave flags all day long. I'm just here to tell you, that's not truth in spirit. Oh boy, I'm really stepping on someone's toes. If you're not careful, you can you can anoint everything with oil. How many times people through the years have told me, Pastor, I put oil around all my windows and all my doors to keep the devil out. I'm here to tell you, the devil is not afraid of your vegetable oil. He's not, and I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm just here to tell you what the devil is terrified of is a Christian who knows the word of God, and a Christian who knows and understands their authority in the name of Jesus Christ, and a Christian who has sensitive spiritual maturity to know when the devil is trying to get into their house, and a Christian who says, in the name of Jesus, devil, you stop right there. You're going no further. You know, I've had people approach me, you know, through the years, and they'll say, Pastor, you know, we're going to anoint everything in the church. We're going to anoint all the windowsills. We're going to put oil on the instruments of music. We're going to do all this. And I say, no, you're not. Because all you're going to do is ruin an instrument. You know, all you're going to do is you're going to stain a guitar or something. The devil is not afraid of that anointing oil. There is a time and a place for anointing oil, and the scripture tells us what that time and place is. Are you here? See, where sometimes we want some outward, you know, gratification to make us feel like something is working. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can take fasting and turn it into that. Oh, there are a bunch of Christian fads right now. The 21-day fast. Well, Daniel fasted for 21 days, so maybe we should try fasting for 21 days. There's just one problem. Daniel wasn't told to fast for 21 days. It just took Daniel 21 days to get the answers that he was praying for, which happened to be answers for entire nations and for the end time scenario that he was given. So if you are going to be used in such a manner, maybe you would have to fast for 21 days. But you cannot take that from Scripture. Jesus fasted for 40 days. I've known great, wonderful ministers that have tried to fast for 40 days and they landed in the hospital trying to do it. Their heart and their intentions are right, but we don't take things and just try to have an outward experience because our flesh demands some kind of gratification. Are you here? Oh boy, I'll tell you what, the kingdom of God is within you. You will go so much further. Now there's an appropriate time for fasting. Fasting isn't something we do to change God. It'll change you. It helps us to put the flesh down so we can seek and hear the kingdom with on the inside of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I do not have to, you know, wave a banner to get God's attention. The Bible says he neither slumbers nor sleeps. You know, we're not trying to wake him up if we're not careful. All of a sudden I see all these Christians, and next thing you know, they're doing interpretive dance. I'm just here to tell you, you can dance all day in some choreographed dance. I'm just here to tell you, that is not moving God. Oh boy, are you glad you're not me here tonight? I'm not picking on those things particularly. I'm saying if we're not careful, we need some kind of outward thing to feel like it's working. It's kind of like, you know, my wife and I, you know, we joke about this. I say this to her. It's kind of like my theory of Listerine. How many of you have ever tried Listerine before? How many of you know Listerine hurts? It hurts. I'm not talking about this new minty stuff that they give you. When I grew up, there was only one kind of Listerine. It was that orange, golden Listerine, yellow Listerine, and it burned. How many of you remember that, right? Okay. And here's my theory of Listerine. It hurts so bad, it must be working, right? It's got to be working if it's doing all that pain, you know. And if we're not careful, we want some kind of outward gratification. Folks, we got to stay in the boundaries of these things. We got the scripture tells us what anointing oil is for. The scripture tells us what fasting is for. The scripture tells us, you know, that, you know, Jesus said the time has come and now is when my people will worship me in spirit and truth, where they won't need some outward kind of gratification to make it feel like something is happening. Are you here? Oh, boy, I made you mad. I'm not trying to, you know, pick on those things. I'm using that as an illustration that we would get so much further instead of trying all this outward stuff. Start looking to here. This is where your answer is. This is where God is talking. Amen. Are you here tonight? Well, praise the Lord. Now I wonder if anyone's going to hear one more word I say here tonight. The greatest move of God is when mankind changes our hearts and minds to get in alignment with God. Yes. Well, I tell you what, I'll use one more example here before I let you off the hook, you know, with this. You know, people, you know, if we're not careful, we try to seek signs from God, or we try just outward forms, you know, to try to get God to move. Oh, I know that's going to upset some people. But another thing we try to do is we try to find God in politics. Be very careful, people. I'll tell you what, our days and times, we just think that, you know, we can find out what God is doing by who gets into office. Believe me, thank God, you know, we need to pray for people that are in office. We need to pray that the right people get into office. But I'm here to tell you, you know, you will not figure out who God is by who gets elected. Are you here? But if we're fellowshipping with God and we're seeing God's plan and getting his heart, the greatest thing that God can do, and this is what I'm going to start with. Are you ready? Number one thing to start developing that, you know, anointing on the inside of you is to conduct kingdom business. Kingdom business. And what I mean by kingdom business, God is the most interested in the issues of the heart. Issues of the heart. Praise the Lord. Doesn't mean you can't be involved in politics. Meaning, doesn't mean you can't vote. You should vote. It's praise the Lord for the privilege, you know, the right to vote. You know, we should, you know, use the political process. Of course, pray for the right people. And a lot of times there is a good choice or a better choice than the other. All right? However, don't just try to figure out who God is by what happens in elections. And some people are really, really caught up. They think that the greatest way to change this nation is through the political realm. I'm here to tell you, it is not. The kingdom of God is within you. All right? The greatest way to change this nation is to change our hearts. Amen. To look inwardly, how to pray and talk to God and find out what he wants in this nation. Are you here tonight? Praise the Lord. The greatest move of God is when we change our hearts and our minds to get in alignment with God. When somebody, here's what kingdom business is. Kingdom business is when somebody, whether it's you, me, hopefully all of us at some point in our lives, when someone is moved to contend with themselves, to make changes in their character, and to grow and develop their inward man. Amen. God is interested in what we're doing with the inward man, our spirit, developing that anointing in our lives. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, since I've already walked on an edge, we'll walk on another one. All right, folks, how many of you believe Jesus is the healer? Jesus is Savior. He is provider and protector. But I'm here to tell you there is something more valuable to him than healing. There is something more valuable to Jesus and our Heavenly Father than miracles, signs, and wonders. The thing that is the most important to Him is that our heart is willing to change. Amen. This is what kingdom business is. Kingdom business is that we contend with ourselves, we develop our character, we grow on the inside. Spiritual growth, knowing Him, right? Looking inwardly, not just trying to go through motions outwardly, not just trying to, you know, gratify our flesh and feel like we've done enough. Are you here tonight? When someone is moved to contend with themselves, to make changes in their character, to grow and to develop in their inward man, it's more important than healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. Our job is to look inward and seek God, and then it's up to Him what He decides to demonstrate among us. I'm here to tell you, God would demonstrate more out here if we would first change our hearts. Amen. God is the most interested in what's going on within you. Within you. Are you here? Oh, man. Praise the Lord. Folks, are you with me here tonight? The goal is to get you spirit conscious. Amen. Praise the Lord. God isn't going to show great demonstrations out here until He gets what He really wants. And that's changes in our heart. Are you here? I'm going to say that again. God is not going to move with great demonstrations out here until He gets what He really wants in the hearts of His people. Praise the Lord. If we're not careful, we're just always looking for God out here. No. That's what the Pharisees did. You know, we're fellowshipping with God. Where? On the inside. Yes, we pray and we meditate in the Word. And we ask God questions and we seek Him. Amen. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Kingdom business is simply this: making changes on the inside, becoming a person that looks inwardly to hear God's voice, someone that looks inwardly to become submitted to God and hear. Are you here? Are we fully submitted? Kingdom business is when we, on the inside, we receive God's ways and principles in our hearts. Kingdom business is when we lay down stubbornness and we pick up correction. Are you here? Kingdom business is when we're constantly looking within ourselves, seeing what, you know, we can do to develop our character. See where we're being stubborn and resistant to God. Has anyone in here ever been stubborn and resistant to God? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we go to God, Father, what would you have me to do? Father, your will be done in my life. Father, I desire your voice above all these things. I cannot go out and put anointing oil on enough things to get that answer. I can't go out there and shake a flag enough to get that answer. Are you here? I can't go out and just fast enough to get that answer. I've got a fellowship with God. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Kingdom business is that when we lay down stubbornness, pick up correction. It's when we pick up direction and obedience. Kingdom business is when we go and on the inside, we become more tender-hearted. We become more merciful. We become more forgiving. Are you here? Praise the Lord. When we become more generous. When we become more meek, right? When we complain less, praise more, forgive others, put down offense, all these things. God is the most concerned about our inward character before He's concerned about anything else. The greatest move of God, even beyond miracles, beyond any dramatic healings, praise the Lord, I believe in those things. I've seen many of those things. But what He's after most of all are people that will seek Him, who will yield their spirit to Him, who will confess to Him when we've got changes to make and character that needs to be grown, things that need to be given up. Oh, come on now. This is how we get out of a funk. If you're in a spiritual funk, if you just feel like you're being dragged down or you just aren't, seeking God, like you need to, This is how you get out of that. Start seeking him on the inside. Turn inwardly. Praise the Lord. More tender, merciful, generous, forgiving, meek, obedient. Hallelujah. Kingdom business. Kingdom business isn't, you know, the offering that's going to come into the church. You know, kingdom business isn't, you know, the mortgage payment on the church building or the snow plowing out front in the parking lot. Praise the Lord, we've got to take care of all that. But what God is looking for most, the real kingdom business, the real transactions that mean the most, is when we judge our character. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Here's the second thing. Are you ready? All right, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to seek God. I want to know him. I want to be led of the Spirit. I want to hear his voice. I want to contend with myself. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I've got stuff that I need to deal with. Folks, is there anyone else here that you've got stuff you need to deal with? We've all got stuff we got to deal with. That's kingdom business. That's growing character. Yielding. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, when God starts showing you, oh, you know what? You could have handled that better. Or, there's times when the Lord actually says to me, I wish you would yield to me in a greater measure in that area of your life. Oh, and when he says stuff like that to me, you know, it's just like, oh my goodness. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever been aware that you just need to make some changes? That's kingdom business. And it's not because you're necessarily sinning or doing something wrong. How many of you know you're just fellowshipping with God? Hallelujah. Growing. We're developing that unction. Amen. Growing closer to him. Look at this. Go to 1 Peter 3 and let's go to verse 1. Well, I'm having fun tonight, even if you're not. Glory to God. Go over to 1 Peter. Developing your spirit man. Developing your inward man. Praise God. You know, I don't know about you, but in 2026, I want to be more spiritual. You know what I mean? And I know there's a lot of definitions of what people might think that means, but really being spiritual is that you're looking inwardly, judging yourself, making corrections, so on and so forth. 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's look at verse 1. Here we go. Now, at first, it's going to seem like this is only talking to women, but you will see that it's also something good that every man could do as well. Look at this. Number one, we've got to conduct some kingdom business. And here's the second thing we're going to talk about here tonight. We need to do some interior decorating. And when I say interior decorating, I'm not talking about our homes. We're not talking about the church building, right? We need to talk about the inside, the inward man. What God wants us to be on the inside. It says, like wives, you wives. Uh-oh. Here we go. Man, if I'm in trouble already, now I'm really going to be in trouble preaching about the wives. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any husband obey not the word of God, they, the husbands, also may without the word be won over by the conversation or the behavior of the wives. Isn't that awesome? So even if your husband wants nothing to do with the word of God, the Bible says that your behavior, ladies, will absolutely speak to him and can win him over to the things of God. Amen? That's wonderful. And of course, we don't neglect that. It says in verse 2, while they, the husbands, will behold and see your chaste conversation. In the King James, that word conversation, it means behavior. We're in verse 2. It says, while they behold your chaste behavior, coupled with fear or reverence. They see their wife, you know, being very reverent to the things of God, and it starts to speak to their heart. How many of you have ever just seen another Christian, and maybe it's not even your spouse, but you just see their life, and it just inspires you, it reminds you. That's just what it's talking about. And of course, specifically within a marriage. And then in verse 3, it says, talking about the wives, who's adorning. Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Oh, no. Oh, man. Wait. That verse. And ladies are starting to get nervous if they have a gold necklace on or gold earrings on or something like that, or if they've done their hair or something. if we're not careful, we can get caught up in this verse and think that it's telling ladies that they're not allowed to ever dress nice. They're not allowed to wear makeup. They're not allowed to wear jewelry. They're not allowed to braid their hair and so on. Well, you need to do a little bit more study of the Word of God to understand what it's talking about. If you look it up in the New American Standard Bible or the Amplified, it says, women, don't be merely known for your outward adorning. Don't just be known because of your outward appearance, right? Now, of course, God isn't against, you know, ladies having jewelry. You know, the Egyptians gave the Jews, at the order of God, gave the Jews gold and earrings and all that stuff, and God, you know, wasn't upset with them. In the parable of the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son came home. God gave him what? A robe and a ring. You know what I mean? God isn't against jewelry or something like that. Within the confines of modesty, all right, it's not talking about ladies aren't allowed to do their hair or wear jewelry and stuff like that. It literally means, or literally translated would say, don't just be known for your outward appearance. Or literally, your outward appearance is what people can see, but it's the inward appearance that God is looking for. All right, look at this. Verse 4, you can see this. It says, but let it be of the hidden man of the heart. Wow. The hidden man of the heart. What is that a reference to, everybody? That's our spirit. The hidden man of the heart. That's the real you. That's your real nature. And God is just using this as an illustration. He says, ladies, just like a woman would want to decorate herself, the word adorning here, like if we go back up to verse 3 when it says adorning, it means literally to decorate or to make beautiful. All right? There's nothing wrong with somebody, you know, if a lady wants to, you know, wear jewelry or something, you know, and seek to, you know, pretty herself up or something like that, there's nothing wrong with it. You just, the Bible's making a clear, you know, comparison. Don't let that be what you're only known for. He's saying in verse 4, he says, but let it be of that inward adorning, the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament or the decoration of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Here's the second thing we're going to talk about. This is how you develop that spirit man. You decorate it. You make it beautiful before God. This is awesome. The Bible is saying, yes, a lady can put on, you know, jewelry and do up her hair and make herself look beautiful, but make sure that that is not the only adorning going on. But the scriptures say, but that hidden man of the heart, your spirit can be adorned or made beautiful in the sight of God. Hallelujah. So just like a woman can dress herself up to be present herself more beautiful to her husband, we can dress up our spirit, so to speak, in a way that is beautiful to God. And notice what it says, the ornament. That word ornament means the decoration, or the thing that makes beautiful in God's sight. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Woo! And guys, this applies to you and I as well, right? Because when he starts talking to the men, and also in verse 1, he said likewise. And then when he talks to the men, he also uses the word likewise. He's not saying this is only for women. Men would be able to likewise learn from this. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, let your adorning, let your desire be to dress up your spirit, so to speak, in a way that God calls beautiful. And he says, what God calls beautiful is a meek and quiet spirit. Notice that's the lowercase s, not the capital S. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about whose spirit? This is what kingdom business is. This is what the kingdom of God is within you. Seeking and desiring to make your spirit beautiful before God. Folks, isn't that what you want? Oh, glory to God. Don't you want God to look at you, you know, and just say, man, that's beautiful to me. That's beautiful. And it's not about your looks. It has nothing to do with your money or how the point that he's making here. It's not about how fancy your clothes are. It's not about how much jewelry you wear. He said, this is the ornament that is truly beautiful to God. Amen. To decorate and to make beautiful. Praise the Lord. The ornament that God wants to see is this, a meek and quiet spirit. Literally, that word meek and quiet, it means this. Are you ready? It means mildness of disposition. He wants a mild disposition. Or you could say it this way, someone that's not quick to fight and to argue. Ooh, he wants mild. And guys, it's just for us too. Hallelujah. We're not born to be wild, Christians. We're born to be mild. I know that song probably wouldn't be as cool if they've changed the lyrics to that, but it's true. Get your motor, get your Bible running. You know, head out of your driveway. Right? Yeah, born to be mild. A mild disposition. Praise the Lord. Mildness of disposition. It means somebody who is not easy to fall into strife. They're not looking for a fight. They're willing to let it go. Oh, are you here? Praise the Lord. God wants us to be meek and quiet. Is anyone else feeling convicted right about now? See, this is kingdom business, folks. This is what Jesus was talking about. The kingdom of God shall be in you. This is what the Lord wants. Even before, you know, a miracle, this is what God is looking for. Doesn't mean that God's not in the miracle business. I'm just trying to tell you that this condition of our heart is his priority. Amen. Me, are you here? Oh, hallelujah. The greatest move of God is when mankind will lay down stubbornness, pick up correction. Hallelujah. Mildness. Mild disposition without strife. Here it is. This meek and quiet spirit, it literally means the belief that arguing and fighting with people will do more damage than it's worth. Oh, God is not looking for you and I to be right all the time. Or literally what I mean by that, he's not looking for us to win our arguments all the time. He's looking for us to be mild. Glory to God. Lay down the argument. Who cares if someone else wins it? Takes more faith to let someone else win the fight than it does for you just to prove your point. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Mild. The belief that arguing and fighting with people will do more damage than it's worth. Meekness is the ability. Are you ready for this? Meekness is the ability to accept what God says without disputing it. Ooh. This is where God is looking for us to get to. Lord, whatever you say, once I know it's from here, it's not from the pastor, it's from the Bible. Lord, this is what you say. Father, I will not dispute. I will not resist. I will yield myself fully to you, easily, without disputing, fighting. Oh, I tell you what, when I'm preaching this, all of a sudden I can just almost like I hear the voice of my spirit say, I just want to do better. I want to do better. You know, I say, well, Pastor, aren't you doing good? Oh, I hope so. I mean, I'd like to believe I am. But I'm just saying, like, you know, our spirit, you know, if we listen, your spirit just wants more of God. Your spirit wants to be humble. And, you know, your spirit can let you be aware of stuff in your character that you just say, oh. You ever discovered just something ugly in your character? It might not even be sinful, so to speak. You probably are all sitting up, you know, sitting here tonight thinking, man, what is Pastor trying to tell us here tonight? Nothing specifically. I'm just saying, like, having a tender heart before God. You know what I'm talking about? A tenderness before him. This is kingdom business. You say, well, Pastor, you know, come on, we need to talk about raising the dead. You know, people walking out of wheelchairs, praise the Lord. God does do those things. He is into that. I'm just here to tell you, we've got to make sure that we understand what kingdom business is. First and foremost, is dealing with our heart and our character. Praise the Lord. The ability to accept what God says without disputing it. Meekness is the ability to not complain. Whoa. Meekness is the ability not to complain and relies on God to provide justice rather than fighting in your own strength. Oh boy. In other words, what are you going to do when life isn't fair? See, meekness says, I depend on God. I don't have to fight against flesh and blood. Has anyone ever mistreated you? Has anyone ever treated you unfairly? Meekness says, let God handle it. Are you here? Oh my goodness. Do you feel like you need to grow? Is there anyone here that's just honest with themselves? Say, my goodness, I need to grow. Yeah, that's not God being mad at us or anything. It's good. This is the point of this message, to get stirred up in our spirit. Amen. To get stirred up so we grow. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is basically God telling us, stop fighting in your own strength just to get what's fair. Let him. Hand it over to him. Meekness is simply this. Let God fight your battles for you. Handle it in the spirit instead of handling it in the flesh. If you've been wronged, let God handle it. If you've been wronged, let God handle them. Your job is to seek mercy, forgiveness, let it go, and move on. Praise the Lord. Hand it over to God. Meekness is when we take no personal offense to what others say or do to us. Oh, I wrote this down. I think this hits home. Meekness is when we take no personal offense to what others say, but rather we use the occasion as an opportunity to grow and be purified. What do you do with those relationships in your life that are just abrasive? You know, people have wronged you, they talk about you, they get on your nerves, maybe you're right, maybe they're right, maybe you're wrong, they're right, who knows? But what do you do in those situations where those relationships just grind? Let it purify you. Let it grow you up. Amen. Instead of fighting with those people, instead of going and proving your point, let it grow you. Oh, hand it over to God. Let it work out that stuff in your character. Grow spiritually. Yes. Meekness is when we have no thought of how others should be corrected, but only how we can do better. Meekness does not look at how someone else should be corrected, but how you can do better. That's what meekness is. Meekness is always what? Inward. 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 Inward with God. Are you here? Three of you are here. Four? Five? Do I hear six? There we are. There we go. Praise the Lord. I feel like I'm going to get out my auction voice here and say, Hallelujah. This is what God calls beautiful. A quiet and meek, inward-facing believer. Not someone who's a fighter and a demanding and offensive and offended and, you know, always has to get their point and win their battle. Are you here? This is what God calls beautiful. Praise the Lord. And now we have the third and final point, but we're just going to read a verse, and we're going to have to save this for next week. Real quickly, can you bring up Ephesians 3:16? I will start to make a point, and then you'll have to come back to get the rest of it. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 3:16. Do we have that in there? This is a prayer by Paul the Apostle for Christians just like you and me. He prays that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might and power by his Holy Spirit in the what? Inner man. See, there we go again. There's the Bible again, talking about the inward man. See, this is what we need to be conscious of. This is what we need to seek to develop. This is what we need to make our priority, right? Amen. To develop this inner man, the unction, the anointing of God, the spirit of man, by the help of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Notice this, and we'll just say this. The third point I was going to make tonight is that we have to strengthen the inner man. And finally, we'll just see this verse right here. Notice that the inner man can be strengthened or made strong. But isn't the opposite must also be true? The inner man can also be what? Weak or made weaker, right? Now, notice this, all spiritual strength. Notice your inner man can and must be strengthened by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Absolutely. We must learn how to strengthen our spirit. We must learn how to strengthen the inner man. The inner man only and does receive strength from the Holy Ghost. All strength is spiritual in its cause, and this is what humanity has failed to learn. What leads people to being busted and disgusted and frustrated in this life is they don't realize their spirit man is, malnourished, underdeveloped. Everything in this life, every situation and circumstance will put a draw or a demand or a withdraw upon your spirit. And I'll just end right here. Brother, can you bring up this verse? Can you bring up Proverbs 4:23? We'll end it right here. And this is just a little taste as we are closing up. It says, keep your heart, which is another reference to your spirit, with all diligence. The word keep means to what? Guard. Guard your heart. Or you could say it this way, guard your inner man with all diligence, for out of it, everyone say out of it, are the issues of life. All issues of life. Is marriage an issue in life? Is money an issue? Is raising kids an issue? Is going to church an issue? Is having family relationships, all these issues in life? We got to go to work. That's an issue of life. Out of your spirit comes strength for all things. We will either stand or fall based on the strength of our spirit. And here's your homework for the week. Are you ready? One verse. Just bring it up for us because it's on that list back there. Proverbs 18:14. Proverbs 18:14 starts to touch on what I just said. Can you bring that verse to the screen for us? It says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, or literally weakness or sickness. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Do you see in this that by the strength of our spirit, we will either stand or fall? Can you bring this up in the Amplified? I wasn't really planning on going there. Boy, I tell you what, you guys teach all night on this stuff. I love what the word says. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. Notice this. Everything we go through, everything we face in this life is trying to make a withdrawal upon our spirit. But what if we haven't strengthened it? What if we have not lived by the word of God? What if we're not fellowshipping in his presence? What if? What if that trial or that trouble or that bodily pain finds our spirit malnourished? See? It says, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Notice that a weak spirit is not what you want to face this world. See, we must develop our inward man. And all those things that I talked about, kingdom business, meekness, quiet spirit, not fighting, not complaining, not demanding our own justice, right? But just putting it in God's hands. Those are the things that grow us spiritually. Are you here? And I'll tell you what, if you're leaving this message here tonight, say, man, I need to grow. Well, guess what? The pastor is leaving this message here tonight saying, I need to grow. And if I was 57 or 67 or 77 or 87 and beyond, it doesn't matter. If you're still, walking on this earth, we can all grow. Amen? That's what we're talking about. Did you get some help here tonight? Well, let's pray. Father God, We love you. We praise you. Lord, you are so faithful and good. Father, I want to grow in the inner man. I want to develop that anointing, that unction that you have given to us. Oh, Lord, that's the answer. That's the answer. Yeah. And you'll know the things that weaken your spirit. You'll know the things that are dragging you down. You'll know the habits or the customs that you have fallen into that are actually keeping you down, that have slowed your growth, that have prevented you from walking into the next room. There's a new level that the Lord has for you. There's a new place for you to go to. But these things are being revealed to you now. The habits, the customs, the things that must change in order for you to receive the promotion. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Father, our heart's desire is to have a meek and quiet spirit before you, which is in your sight of great value. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your patience. Lord, you're not mad at us. You're not beating us down. You're just calling us up higher. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Father, this is a brand new year, only 1 month old. And Father, we just say this, we want to be more spiritual. The Bible definition of spiritual. Father, we want to work on our own character. We want to conduct kingdom business. Look within ourselves. Lord Jesus, you said the kingdom of God will be within us. We're not trying to gratify the flesh and try to reach for something out here in circumstances. We're not trying to understand you by what we see with our natural eye. Father, you told us to walk by faith, not by sight. So Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you. We're going to be doers of the word. And we're going to be blessed in our deeds. With all eyes closed, every head bowed before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you personally invited him as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says over there in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God wants to save you. He wants to forgive you of your sin. He wants to make sure that heaven is your home. Listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. There is a hell. But the good news is there's a heaven. And the Bible says if you'll take Jesus as your Lord, if you'll use your faith, call upon him, he'll save you. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. No one's looking around, but if you're here tonight, you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord. Well, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to call you down front. But if you're here, if that's you, and if you're here and you realize you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to take one small step towards him and lift your hand for a second. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray and Christ into your heart. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? I see those hands. You can put them down. God loves you. If that's you, could you just go ahead and lift? If you haven't lifted your hand yet and you know you need to, could you just lift your hand for just a second? God loves you. He's not mad at you. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. Hallelujah. Well, where is he going to change us? On the inside. We get saved, and guess what? We still look the same. We get saved, and we still have similar thoughts running through our minds. But on the inside, in your spirit, is where he's going to renew you. If you lifted your hand, we're going to pray this prayer. Actually, I'm going to ask everyone to go ahead and pray it, so you won't be alone. But right there in your seat, go ahead and speak these words out of your mouth. Let God hear you. He will hear you. We'll all be praying right along with you. Mean it with your heart. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Let's go ahead, let's stand to our feet. Folks, we're gonna receive our normal tithes and offerings right now. But the good news is that we're not gonna send the ushers to you. They're just gonna be right there at the two exits waiting for you. If you filled out a gray card, don't forget to put